Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey. With stories and songs just for kids, we have a dramatized Bible story coming up. But let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God. I just love singing praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Mm-hmm. Captain Cornelius, your cousin, respectfully requests your presence at his home at noon today.
Thank you.
Cornelius wants me to come to his place at noon? What for?
He didn't say, sir.
Well, I'll be there.
At about noon, sir?
Wouldn't miss it for anything. I'll be there.
At noon? I'll try to get there.
Something important must be going on.
Probably a feast. I'll be there.
I'll tell him I won't miss it.
His invitation is my
command. The entire family will be there.
You are all my kinsmen or near friends. You are wondering why I have invited you to be here in the middle of the day. Perhaps some of you know. You are here because you are my kinsmen and near friends. I think all of us are going to see the beginning of something new, a new era in religion. I have asked one of the leading members of the followers of Jesus of Nazareth to come here. He will arrive at any moment.
But Cornelius, he's an Israelite, and he's coming here? To a Gentile home?
He is, my cousin.
But he'll be defiled, become unclean by coming here.
You mean, my dear cousin, that the Israelites think they are defiled by entering a Gentile home. Do you think they are? I can't feel that they are.
Of course not. Well, we're just as good as they are.
And they're just as good as we are. God created everyone. Greek, Roman, Israelite, Egyptian, everyone. He made us all alike. I think God is no respecter of persons. If there is any difference between any of us, it is because we ourselves made the differences, God didn't.
I subscribe to that. I get that.
The corporal and the two servants are entering, sir. They have seven men with them.
Seven men? I'll answer it.
Yes, master.
Oh, do not worship me. Stand up. I myself also am a man. Greetings, Captain, sir. May the peace of God rest upon you and your house.
Welcome to my humble home, servants of God. These people you see here are my near of kin and friends. I wanted them also to hear the words you have for us. An angel appeared to me in vision and suggested that I send for you. You have been good enough to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God, waiting to hear all that the Lord has ordered you to say.
Of a truth, I now perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Whoever loves him and does what is right is acceptable to him, no matter what race he belongs to. God created all things. He created us in his own likeness and image. Therefore, we are all precious in his sight. Adam relinquished dominion of the earth when he obeyed Satan instead of God. The Messiah came to redeem the earth so that he, the Son of God, could remove Satan as the king of the earth and reestablish it in his name. You are all acquainted with the things which have recently happened in and around Jerusalem and Galilee. You know about John the Baptist. You know about Jesus of Nazareth. How God poured on him the Holy Spirit and power. He went everywhere doing good and healing the sick, for he was God's Son. He was put to death, being nailed to the cross. The third day, he was resurrected and appeared to many of us. We ate and drank with him and saw the prints of the nails in his hands and feet. Salvation is to be found through him alone. For there is no one else in all the world whose name God has given to men by whom we can be saved. All the prophets of Scripture spoke about him, saying that everyone who believes in him will have his sins forgiven through the power of his name. And he commanded us to preach the gospel of salvation to the ends of the earth, and to testify that he is truly the Son of God. The Lord has poured out his Holy Spirit upon these Gentiles, even as he did upon us. Can anyone then stop them from being baptized with water?
There is a nice beach on the sea nearby.
We shall baptize them immediately. I I baptize you, brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
The Easter story you're about to hear is so amazing that it's almost too good to be true. But it is true. In fact, the miracle of the resurrection is one of the most well-documented facts in history. Doubters have never been able to explain how else Jesus' body could have disappeared from the tomb.
That's because it's kind of hard to explain away the earthquake and the angel who announced that Jesus was not there but had risen.
It's just like a mystery story come to life.
Good choice of words, since that's exactly what Jesus did.
Have you seen him with your very own eyes?
No, but Jesus did appear to more than 300 people after he rose from the dead.
Wow, that's a lot of eyewitnesses. Sounds amazing.
It is amazing that Jesus came back from the dead, but it really did happen. All the stories in the Bible about Jesus are true.
Well, tell me more of them.
With you.
Tanya, that's what's the matter with me.
Your best friend Tanya? Have a little tiff, did we?
Little? Just the fight of the century. Do you know what she did?
I have a feeling you're gonna tell me.
She wore my favorite sweater the other day and got a big stain on it.
You let her wear your clothes?
And then she said the stain was already there and it was my fault.
Does what you're wearing right now belong to someone else?
I am never going to speak to her again.
Well, that might be hard because she's coming to your birthday party on Sunday.
Then I'm going to uninvite her. Let me use your cell phone.
Wait a minute. Weren't you listening in church last week? Pastor Quanto said that if we hold a grudge, if we stay angry at someone, it can make us sick.
Well, he's right. Tanya makes me sick.
I think you're missing the point here. You're gonna make yourself sick by being angry and not forgiving little sweater girl. The preacher said that we can get stomach aches, headaches, even lose sleep when we're angry. That's not healthy.
Well, what would you do if someone borrowed your sweater and got a big stain on it?
I don't lend my clothes to people. That's creepy.
Okay, what if it was your baseball glove? What if someone broke and then blamed it on you?
I guess if someone broke my glove, I'd be pretty mad. But I don't want to be sick, so I'm thinking I'd have to decide which is more important, my glove or my health.
Sam, you're pretty smart for a dumb kid. Can I borrow your red jacket?
No.
Just for the party?
No way.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on Earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Save us, Father, and grace.
boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Do you ever feel left out, like your friends want to be with someone else instead of you? What if you really needed those friends to help you solve a mystery? Chris and Maria discover an old safe in their grandparents' basement, but no one knows the combination. Who gave them money to build the cross above Mill Valley? Chris and Maria think the answer is inside the old safe. As they follow the clues, Chris learns some important lessons about friendship and jealousy, and about being a Christian. Chapter 1. Secret in the Basement. Chris tiptoed down the steps to his grandma's basement. He glanced back several times to make sure he wasn't being followed, and to make sure no one was peeking through the crack by the door to see where he was going. At the bottom of the stairs, Chris checked out the area underneath the steps. It was dark under there, all right, but that was the first place they would look. He had to find a really good place to hide, a place where no one would ever find him. "I'm glad only one of the lights works," he thought. "The long shadows will help hide me." As he looked around the rest of the basement, Chris shook his head. "There's so much stuff here." A bed frame and mattresses were leaning up against a far wall. He thought about crawling behind the box springs to hide. "There are too many cobwebs," he decided with a shiver, "and that means spiders." Chris glanced at his watch. He was running out of time. He stepped behind old bike parts, folding chairs, and exercise equipment. An old console television sat in a far dark corner of the basement. "Maybe I could hide behind that," Chris thought. At his next step, a cobweb wrapped across his face. "Ew," Chris said, brushing it off his face. "Pooh, phooey." The sticky web kept hanging on as he shook his hand. "That's disgusting," he whispered to himself. Suddenly, the door at the top of the stairs creaked open. Chris slipped quietly in behind the television and held his breath. He heard footsteps coming down the stairs. Then they stopped.
"Chris? Where are you, Chris?"
"Shh, Yo-Yo," Maria whispered. "We want Chris to think he's fooled us. Then he might give away his hiding place."
"Okay."
Chris heard Yo-Yo's whisper and smiled to himself. Maria and Yo-Yo would never think to look for him so far back in the basement. The shadows were a little scary, but it was worth it if Maria and Yo-Yo gave up looking for him. Then he would win their game of hide-and-seek. Something tickled Chris's arm. Whatever it was started moving. It moved really fast, then stopped. Chris felt a chill climb up his spine and go right into his hair, making it stand on end.
"Ah!" he cried, jumping out of his hiding place. "I hate spiders!"
Yo-Yo screamed and hugged Maria with both arms. Chris jumped around in circles, swinging his arms wildly to brush himself off. He looked as if he were doing some sort of Indian war dance. Maria patted Yo-Yo's head. Then she folded her arms. "Chris, you should know better than to scare Yo-Yo," she criticized. When Chris finally stopped dancing around, he frowned at Maria. "I wasn't trying to scare you or Yo-Yo. I thought I had a spider on me. I was trying to get it off." He knelt down beside Yo-Yo. "I'm sorry if I scared you, Yo-Yo," he apologized.
"Okay, Chris. I'm glad it was you."
Yo-Yo gave Chris a big hug. Suddenly, her eyes got big and round. "What's that, Chris?" she asked, pointing at something that looked like a big metal box partially covered by a blanket. The blanket had been covering the box until Chris had knocked it off with his spider dance. Chris turned around. "I don't know, Yo-Yo. Let's look." Maria folded the blanket off the metal box. "It sure is big," she said. "What is it for?" Chris knelt down. He tried to nudge the box, but it wouldn't budge. "Wow, it's heavy, too." Maria uncovered it all the way. "Look, there's a dial on the back, Chris." Chris checked it out. "That's the front, Maria," he said. Grinning, he looked from Maria to Yo-Yo. "This is an old, old safe. I wonder whose it is." "Probably Grandma and Grandpa's," Maria said. "Let's go ask," Chris suggested, heading for the chairs. Maria ran over and got in front of him. "Wait a second, brother. Come here, Yo-Yo," she called. Yo-Yo came over and stood beside her sister. She stood at attention with her hand in Maria's. "You can't go back upstairs until you say we won the game," Maria told Chris. "Right, Yo-Yo?"
"Right,"
Yo-Yo agreed. "Okay, you two win the game this time," Chris agreed. "Now let's go up and ask about the safe." Chris, Maria, and Yo-Yo all burst into the kitchen where Grandma was putting supper on the table. "Good," Grandma said. "Now I won't have to go call you to come and eat. You're already here." Chris glanced at the vegetable soup and crackers and sandwiches. They looked really good, but suddenly he wasn't hungry anymore. He started to ask about the safe. "Grandma?"
"Will you get some glasses out of the cupboard, Chris?" Grandma interrupted.
"Yo-Yo, we need the milk out of the refrigerator, please."
Yo-Yo skipped over and got the milk while Chris reached for the glasses. He almost got five. Then he remembered Grandpa would be gone for the evening because he was visiting a sick friend in the hospital. This is great, Maria said as she sat down at the table. I'm glad we get to stay over here when Mom and Dad go out on dates. Yo-Yo pulled herself up into her chair. Me too. Chris set the glasses down and poured Yo-Yo some milk. He handed the milk to Maria, and she poured her own. Chris started to ask about the safe again. Grandma? Let's bow our heads for a blessing on the food, Grandma said. Grandma asked the blessing. When everyone's eyes opened, Maria started talking. Grandma, what's that old safe down in the basement used for? Grandma's face went blank for a moment. What old? She started to ask, but then her eyes lighted up when she remembered. I'd almost forgotten that was down there. You must mean my father's old safe, your great-grandpa's. Is that whose it is? Chris asked. It must be real old. Is that whose it is? Chris asked. It must be real old. Grandma nodded. When your great-grandpa died, we brought it over here and stored it in the basement. It took several men to get it down those stairs. I don't know how we'll ever move it again. Do you store valuable stuff in there? Maria asked. Grandma smiled. No, honey, Grandpa and I don't store anything in that old safe. We don't know the combination, and it would cost a lot of money to have a locksmith open it. Your great-grandpa didn't leave anything valuable in that safe anyway. How do you know? Chris asked. He watched Grandma take a bite of bread. Well, Chris, I guess I don't know for sure that there's nothing in there, but before your great-grandpa died, he kept his important papers and possessions in a safe deposit box down at the bank. Chris barely touched his soup. He was too excited. Already his mind was leaping ahead, imagining what might be hidden in that old safe. Maybe great-grandpa wrote down the combination somewhere, he said. Somewhere where we can find it.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 4, The Missing Combination Mystery, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. Let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.